Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Possession, ball across, looking for Benrahma, but cut out by Matthews, and he cuts inside. Bueno, who made the attempted pass, and releases Williams on the left into space. Williams still going down the line. Johnny Williams tries to send Doherty on the way, gets the cross in. It's a lovely touch from Baird, and he's got it in. Forster Kasky headed it back into the danger area, and Macaulay Bond with the deftest of flicks gets it over Raya, and Charlton have the opening goal.
Well, really well worked from Charlton. We talked about trying to make the most of opportunities. Great work from Williams on the left-hand side, just driving with the ball forward. Ball down the line to Doughty. It's a perfectly timed cross towards the far post. Forster Kasky made a really good run, gets up really well to get that first header, and Macaulay Bond with the slightest of touches to glance it past Raya and give Charlton the lead.
To De Silva. It's got Dunsgaard on the overlap. Ball into Benrahma, who's taken a tumble in the box, and the referee has decided It's a penalty, and that's a generous one.
I think Cullen gets a touch on the ball. I need to see it again, but my first instinct is that Cullen gets a touch on the ball.
Really, he got a touch on the ball.
There's no question about it that afterwards he takes out Benrahma, but I just think he gets a touch.
And it will be Benrahma who'll take the spot kick. Dylan Phillips trying to stop him. Steps forward, takes the shot and scores to the right-hand side. And the referee has handed Brentford away back into this game.
It's harsh on
Charlton. Taken corner, it's back out here to De Silva. Nobody going close. Chip ball back across, easy header. I think that's an own goal from Pearce. Nobody went to close him down, De Silva. He got a free cross in. And it was pressure on Pearce, I think from Watkins. No, Pinnock maybe. That caused the ball to end up in the back of the net. And Charlton for being 1-0 up and now 2-1 down.
I think you're right, Tal. I think it might go down as an own goal. The frustration for Charlton is just a short corner and no one goes to De Silva. They allow him to cross it in, cut inside onto his left foot. It's a good cross and there's nothing really that Pearce can do for it. He's got to compete with Pinnock. And now it's an upheaval task for Charlton to come from 2-1 behind.
This time his back heel didn't come off and Matthews steps in. But there's the final whistle.
So, good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. My name is Louis Mendez. We'll be looking back at the defeat against Brentford and, of course, looking ahead to Saturday's home game with Reading. Helping me on the phone to do just that. In one, we've got Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. You had a good week?
It's been all right, yeah.
Yeah? So your grass is growing in your lawn?
Grass is coming on nicely, yeah. But TV remote has stopped working. So, you know, swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, not what you need during lockdown, of course. And also joining us from a secret location is Mr. Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
How's it going, fellas? I'm in a basement somewhere. I don't know who's taken me.
You're right. How's your week been, yeah. Mate?
Oh, mate, it's been a bit... Up and down, just like the blooming bottom and half of that championship, isn't it? But yeah, it's all right, mate. It's Thursday, it's nearly weekend.
Nearly Friday. Yeah, exactly. Nathan's in that Friday spirit already, I can hear it. Right, so on this week's big match preview, of course, like I said, we'll look back at that defeat against Brentford. We just heard the goals there in the opening titles, and we'll discuss that one. We'll hear what Lee Bowyer had to make of it as well. We've got some tweets and emails that have come in from listeners throughout the week, so we'll read those out, and then we'll hear a little bit more from Lee Bowyer here from today's press day that he did ahead of the game with Reading We'll preview that game, of course, against the Royals, another massive one down at the Valley for us. And if we get a chance, we'll maybe just touch on what was said about the takeover today. Nothing much in terms of an update, but maybe if we get a chance, we'll talk about that as well. Because, you know, if you want to be owners of a football club, you're going to be interested. People are going to be interested in seeing and hearing about you. So there you go. We'll talk about that as well. So, Tom, we heard there the goals from the Brentford game. Oh, it was a valiant performance, but I mean, it was relentless pressure from Brentford, and I guess it was always likely to tell in the end.
Yeah, I think it was as you said, frustrating to lose the game in the end, particularly after going ahead. But as I said on the day, I tried to look beyond the result, and obviously I understand people's frustration because we went ahead and because we lost the game. And there were periods, of course, where we were under relentless pressure, as you say. But I think our performance, actually, we did ourselves proud against a very good team. You know, there are other teams that have played Brentford since the restart and have done a lot worse. You look at their goals. I don't think they've conceded a goal, have they, since they returned? So they're in blistering form. But look, we didn't match them in style or chances, really. But we did create. We did have opportunities. We did score a goal. And for large portions of that game, we defended very well. So there are lots of positives to take. Look, again, I come back to the most important thing as a result, and we lost it, and I get that. But the only two games we've lost since the return are Brentford, which is not a surprise, and Millwall, which, given the club we are, is not a surprise either. And in the other games where you go into those games thinking, God, if we get something here, that could make a big difference. Well, we've taken 7 points from those three games, and we've got three massive games coming up where we'll be looking to take points as well. So I was disappointed, of course, as other fans were, but also seeing the bigger picture, I think it could have been worse.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Tom mentioned there, then he said it on Twitter as well after the game, Nathan, that you have to try and not become too outcome focused after a game like that, because, of course, you know, the outcome is we lost the game, but we did perform well. In this weird little sprint, is it okay to perform well and lose? It's not something you can do too often, but maybe against Brentford, maybe that's something you'll just have to hope that you can get away with.
Yeah, no, of course. I think Tommy and Mel and Ed really, and I mean, if you think about it, I mean, on after Friday's result, a lot of people were going, you know, maybe to myself to an extent, you know, well, that's we ain't going to get nothing from the game. Because we were leading for so long and they were pummeling us, like, it was inevitable that it was going to happen unless we'd done another sort of S-housery, shall I say. But, I mean, yeah, it's one of the things. And in the little mini league, I think it wouldn't be that much of an issue if the other teams weren't winning. So look at, again, Millwall yesterday or the day before when Borough beat them. It's when things like that happen, it makes it feel a lot worse than it actually is. But like Tom said, they've scored 70 odd goals. Unbelievable side. And but yeah, I just think it was just gutting that we just couldn't hold on. And I think that's where the frustration comes in. But the bigger picture, we said on Friday or after the Millwall game, that the big games are the next three, and that hasn't changed.
All right, I mean, looking at one the most controversial moment. Or is it even that controversial, that the penalty awarded to Brentford then, Tom? Josh Cullen in on side Benrahma. I mean, Benrahma was an absolute thorn in our side. But, you know, we've got into that last 15 minutes and we're hanging on under relentless pressure, as we've said. But you're thinking, you're getting closer and closer, and then the penalty goes against you. If that doesn't happen, you think maybe we've had a better chance of hanging on. But your view on the penalty, Tom? Stonewall? Harsh? Which way do you see it?
Yeah. I don't know about Stonewall, but I think if it was our attacker in their box, you'd want it given for you. So I don't think it was a Stonewall penalty, but I think probably on reflection and having seen the replay back, I can see why he's given it, and it's probably the right decision. I think, as you say, he was a thorn in our side all game, but even looking at a lot of the chances he had, you know, he was cutting in on the edge of the box and having to go from 20 yards out, and maybe that's his tactic anyway, but there wasn't many times they were getting into the box and forcing deals into saves. That's not to say it didn't happen, because they did. But a lot of their shots were from distance, and we were defending fairly well. So, again, it goes back to similar to what Bo said, really. To play a team that are that good, that relentless, scoring that many goals, and to lose the game to a penalty in a corner is almost even more frustrating than if they'd, you know, put a 75-pass move together and scored. So yeah, it was. I think it was probably the right call, but it, you know, when it goes against you, obviously you're hoping that the referee will show some leniency. But Bose didn't seem to have too many complaints either, and I think probably it was the right decision.
Yeah, and when it came to the winning goal, Nathan, just a simple set piece, really. Ones that we dealt with pretty well over the course of, well, ever since we come back, really, from lockdown. But certainly during that game, we were dealing with set pieces. But we fall asleep from a short corner, and it's either Ethan Pinnock or Jason Pearce who gets the final touch. It's quite hard. There was one angle where it did look very much like it came off Pearce, but Pinnock was certainly claiming it. A frustration when you've played that well, but I guess when you've put so much effort into defending and defending, you're going to get tired and you're going to fall asleep when you shouldn't do.
Yeah, of course. And I think, again, for me, it was just frustrating to watch because there was, I can't remember who exactly where it was, but I think there was a couple of ball watches. And like you say, the frustrating thing for me was not only the Brentford game where we were soaking up so much pressure. If you look at the Millwall game, we weren't really soaking up pressure, but we were handling everything that they threw at us in terms of Matt Smith. So having a performance like that, really, against Millwall aerially, for the last hurdle, it was just disappointing. Like you said, I think once, if someone's knocking on your door that much, it just takes one lack of concentration or a split second, which happened, and we switched off at a set piece, which usually we're really good at defending.
Yeah, such a shame. We were so close to at least taking away a point there. I mean, we've got to talk about the opening goal. Tom, the Welsh wizard, Johnny Williams, he got his first start since coming back from lockdown, and he was really lively for us, and he drove up the left-hand side before laying it off for Alfie Doughty, another man who looked very good, especially going forward in that first period. There's a peach of a cross, Forster Caskey floating in at that far post, and Macaulay Bond, who's needed a goal, and you know, we're in dreamland after just 8 minutes.
Yeah, I say what I said about the game, but I certainly didn't expect us to go ahead. And you're right, look, Johnny was a part of that move, and I thought he actually played quite well in that first half. He looked like he, I'm guessing, tired in that second half, which would fit with what Boya said about him the other week. But great work between him and Alfie down that left-hand side. And as you say, a wonderful ball in. And yeah, I was disappointed with the amount of stick Macaulay got on Friday. And I know he's gone through a bit of a difficult spell. And obviously, when you lose to your nearest rivals, people are going to be annoyed. So I get where they're coming from. But I think given the rise he's had to come from non-league football, I don't think any of us expected him to have the game time that he's been forced to have this year. And to come out with, I think, 8 or 9 goals so far is good return for that player. And there were times before his injury where he looked a very, very competent Championship striker. And of course, his goals have dried up a little bit. So it's so important for him to get that goal because, given what's happened with Lyle, we're going to need him in certainly the next 3 or 4 games. So, yeah, I was pleased for him to get off the mark. And again, looking at the bigger picture rather than just the result on Tuesday night, hopefully that will kickstart him into a little bit of form over the next few games.
Excellent stuff. Well, let's have a listen then to what Lee Bowyer made of the performance over at Brentford. He answered some questions from the press after the game, and this is what he had to say.
I thought it was tough, obviously, against a very good Brentford side. I think they go up. I think they're... I'd be amazed if they're not in the Premier League next season. So I was here the weekend and watched them against Wigan, and I've seen what they've done to other teams of late, and I thought we looked quite solid for a large part of the game. The subs I brought on made a big difference. We ran out of legs. We had too many on empty. In the end, and we just couldn't hold out for that pressure point in the end. But we give it a good go, and the plan nearly worked, but unfortunately we come away with nothing. But these ain't going to be the games that are going to define whether we stay in a division or not. That's what I said to the players, like, look, you give everything and don't be too disappointed. Be disappointed, but not too disappointed. So we've got another big one coming up Saturday.
Okay, yeah, obviously, in terms of the changes tonight, what were you thinking tactically with that one, Lee, in terms of the shape?
Just a bit like, I thought we had to have an extra body in the middle of the park, a bit of pace out wide with Alfie, bring Naby in, and I thought we might have a bit more possession, a bit more ball, because Brentford, like I said, I was there the weekend, and they have a lot of ball when they tie you around and they wear you down. And so I was hoping that playing the free at the back, we'd have a bit more possession and we'd get our wing backs to travel up the pitch, and that worked, you know, for the goal. So, but we just couldn't hold on. But yeah, and try to cause them a problem by playing the 2-10s behind Mako against their one sitter. I thought, like, and again, at times that worked first half. But second half, we just tired. Whenever we won the ball back, we just didn't have no energy left to then try and play and move up the pitch. So, first half worked, but second half, we just became tired and it became difficult.
What did you make of the penalty? Do you think it was one, or?
I think it's soft. I've seen challenges like that and not being given. The ref said to me that Josh got a touch on the ball, but it was the follow through. Well, you can't control that. You've got two people running into each other, both stretching for the ball, which they both did, and Josh got a touch on the ball. So can he control what happens after he got a touch on the ball? No. So for I think that the player made it look worse than what it was. But yeah, some are given and some ain't on that occasions. And then unfortunately for us, it went against us.
There we go. That was Lee Bowyer after the defeat against Brentford. He says he was proud of his players after a defeat, and he doesn't say that too often, I guess, Nathan. The importance now, of course, is how you react from a game that you've lost, but didn't really expect to get anything from anyway. So he talked about, these aren't the games that are going to see us stay up. It's the next three, really, which are going to be a lot more important for us, starting, of course, with Reading on Saturday.
Yeah, of course, and the players would know that. Don't get me wrong, every game they go into, they're going to want to win. Bowyer's never going to set his team up to lose, don't get me wrong. But I think just the late goals against Brentford probably would have disheartened him somewhat. But exactly what you say, I think when push comes to shove, they're going to be looking at these next three now. And I think they're going to be up for these next three, because if they're not, then we're not going to probably be in this division. And I think with a team like Bowyer's, he's instilled, I think we will. But yeah, I think that's the main thing, is we were never really going to get anything on paper, and we dug so deep, and it takes a lot out of players. Defending like that against players like that who are running everywhere and you're soaking up a lot of pressure, it does take it out of you. But they'll get back into it this week and focus on, so that'll be a game on Reading. And I think if we can get a win, that's huge. I still think two wins will be enough. But obviously, if we draw or lose, then pressure goes into the next game, and you don't want to be going into Wigan and lose needing 6 points.
Yeah, I mean, Tom, we've been looking at the table tonight. So, I mean, just before we came on to record the pod, Leeds absolutely smashed Stoke 5-0, which has actually seen us move up a place, because Stoke's goal difference has fallen two below ours. So we're up to 20th on 46. Stoke are also on 46 in 21st. Hull, who got beat at Bristol City, on 45 in the relegation zone. Barnsley 42, Luton 41. Huddersfield and Middlesbrough are only a point ahead of us, and Stoke. Birmingham are only 3 points ahead of us, and we're playing them sort of next week as well. So, I mean, the table is so tight down there. We're not taking into account Wigan's points deduction yet, because there's talk of an appeal, but you have to... The assumption is they will lose 12 points, which in that case, our one-point gap goes to a four-point gap. But, I mean, as Nathan said, when we go to Leeds on the final day, we need to get this job done before then, based on what we've seen all season, but certainly from what we saw this afternoon from Leeds.
Yeah, and I think you're right, it's so tight, but we can only concentrate on ourselves, I think, and it's natural to be looking over your shoulders the whole time or looking up, because we're all playing at the same time and goals are going in all over the place, and pretty much every single goal that goes in involving any of those teams moves some teams around. So it's constantly chopping and changing. But we can only focus on ourselves, and lots of the teams around are playing each other. As you mentioned, we've got Birmingham and Wigan in the running. And yeah, it's going to be nerve-wracking, I think. And, you know, we were under no illusions when we came back that that was going to be the case. We were in the relegation zone at that point, and we're out of it now. So you have to view that as progress. And I know defeats like the one to Brentford are difficult because other teams are winning, but you really have to try and not focus on that and just focus on our own performances. And as I said earlier on in answer to your first question, on the whole, we've been playing very, very well since we come back. Millwall, even the Millwall game, you know, parts of that we looked okay. And parts of the Brentford game against a very good side. So, yeah, it's going to be nervy. It's going to be tense. There's going to be lots of changing. I think you're right. We have to ignore the Wigan 12 points. If that does get deducted from them, then I don't mean this in a nasty way to Wigan, but it is a bonus if they do. But if they don't, you know, at the moment and the way they're going, that might not make any difference anyway. So it's going to be very tight. But I agree with Nate. I think two wins will do it. And I think based on how we played, we should have enough out of the next three games to get those two wins. It's just about whether we can handle that pressure and get through those games. But yeah, it's not going to be a lot of fun, I don't think, watching Charlton over the next few weeks.
No, certainly not. I mean, Tom's saying we've got to not pay too much attention to what the other teams are doing, but it is interesting to look at their fixtures. So Friday, so today probably for most of you when you're listening to the game, Huddersfield versus Luton up at Huddersfield. So that's a bit of a six-pointer down there with Huddersfield just a point ahead of us, Luton obviously below us. You've got us against Reading, of course. You've got Hull versus Millwall. Millwall haven't done us any favours at all, other than, yes, they beat us. That's so far their only win since coming back, which has been a real hassle for us. Middlesbrough are at home to Bristol City. Barnsley play Wigan on Saturday. And then on Sunday, Stoke play Birmingham. So all those teams down there facing off against each other. It's going to be so tight at the wrong end of the Championship. Well, let's have a listen, a look at some of the messages that came in over the course of the week. So Dom said, an analysis of what went wrong against Brentford. It was clear that things had gone badly wrong in the game before the first whistle even blew. The combination of this year's away top with the horrible home kit shorts was just a disaster. The green and purple stripes on the away top clashed horribly with the red streaks in the shorts. It was difficult enough to watch, let alone play. And the shambles of mixing and matching different kits was compounded further by using what I can only think were last year's away socks. Yeah, it was a bit all over the place, but Brentford had very similar kit to us. So clearly, after half-time, all of this must have disorientated our players enough to confuse them which league season we were playing in. The end result after that was inevitable. Serious matters aside, though, it was a hard and battling performance all round. It's good that Bond got his first since the restart, so I hope he starts with a Nike against Reading. I'm not sure what your thoughts. Nave, is that a front two you'd like to see, a Nike with Bond? I mean, Hemed was rested on Tuesday. Green's got a little bit of a knock. I mean, how would you like to see the front two set up on Saturday?
I guess. I mean, watching some of our forward play sometimes reminds me of Horst. But to be fair, I was with Mako. I think I said on the Millwall one that I just don't think he's, you know, he's up there yet. He's ready enough. But I mean, like Tom said, he had that little purple patch, and he's come back and he obviously played well against Brentford, and he definitely needs to start. It gives him a new lease of life. In terms of who, I mean, for me, Hemed, I know what he's trying to do, but he had a couple of things against Millwall, but I'd have to go with Anike. Green, he hasn't done enough for me to play up front, even if he is fit. I still see him as a natural wide player, so it's a toss up between Hemed and Chucks. And if anything, Chucks has impressed me out of the games you've seen. You know, Chucks has done more for me to get that other starting berth. But I don't see why we have to play with two. I think you could have Johnny in the hole, or you could have Ozzy in the hole, and it will just give us a little bit more on the ball. I think if you have the likes of Chucks and Tomar, I think it makes it easier to go a lot more direct. The Millwall game, we started it on the floor and then we went direct, and it just didn't really work. So I mean, if we try and get someone in that sort of central area to pick up the loose balls and maybe drop that little bit deeper, that's what I would prefer. But if you have to go through the two, then I'd have to pick Chucks with Mackay.
There we go. Right, Tom van der Steen says, agree with Tom's post-match tweet. This isn't your alter ego, is it, Tom, by any chance? But we cannot forget who we were playing last night. I think there are more positives to take from the game than negatives, which if we can stay up and stabilise the ownership, there is a lot to build on. Happy for Bond to get a goal last night. His body language changed completely after that goal. Again, a bit of a reflection. He was non-league last season, and this season he has scored a decent amount of goals in the Championship and against promotion-chasing teams like Leeds, West Brom, Brentford, Fulham and Derby. Last point, good to be back on Valley Pass after watching their last game on Sky Sports. I much prefer the tones of Terry and Greg. Top commentary and analysis from the lads, as always. Yeah, it's always a good job with Terry and Greg, and you can watch the game on Saturday on Valley Pass, of course. Yeah, we'll talk a bit more about Bond later, because we've got a clip from Lee Bowyer as well, talked about McCauley. But it's interesting what Tom says there about how his body language changed. I think I saw that too as well. You know, he's a striker, therefore he's a confident player. He's a confidence player, and when he's not scoring goals, then it must take 10% out of your game for you automatically. Next one comes in. My thoughts on the Brentford game. Not a bad first half, but we never really got out of our half against them in the second, and at 1-1, we didn't have an out ball. We go again on Saturday. That's from Tom Mannering. Yeah, I mean, Tom, I said it on Tuesday as well, when we were at the game, when we were doing the game on Radio London. I said, as soon as Johnny went off for Lapsley, I said, all right, that's going to have some energy in midfield, but you've lost the out ball. And, you know, I don't think we saw the ball up the other end until, you know, for almost the entirety of the second half, until we went down and we tried to push for a leveller.
Yeah, and I saw a few people saying that on Twitter during the game as well. I think you've got to look at it two ways. One, Brentford are naturally going to push us backwards anyway because of the quality that they've got and because they're behind at home and the run that they're on. But I don't think necessarily we help that. And it's a very brave tactic to keep somebody up there and to continue to push. But I felt that substitution invited that pressure. And as you say, if you are still sitting back, you want them to be able to get the ball forward quickly. And I felt that we lost that. As I said earlier, I think Johnny was probably getting tired anyway. But if we could have brought somebody else on who could have stretched the game a little bit more up the other end, I think that would have just kept them on their toes a little bit. But as it was, we were sat so far back that we just invited pressure on. And as I say, it's natural. And obviously, you're trying to protect what you've got there. So I don't necessarily blame Bowyer for it. But it was just a little bit frustrating watching it from the comfort of your own house when you're looking and you're thinking, well, you know, what I want you to do is to try and be a little bit more counter-attacking. But, you know, if we'd have gone into that game, I mean, I would have expected us, as Nave said a little bit earlier, to lose by a lot more than that. So I'm trying not to criticise too much, but I understand the point that they make, that perhaps we could have been slightly more attacking still in that final sort of 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the bench. I mean, McGeady was the only other option, really, that you could possibly have brought on to take the ball up the other end and try and take a little bit of pressure off the back line. But, you know, you bring on McGeady and we go on to lose 2-1, everyone will say, well, why didn't you sit back and try and soak it up a bit? That's just the way it goes. Right, Luke says that we started well at Brentford, all things considered, but we made the defensive subs too early, taking off Johnny and Jake, who win fouls and keep the ball under pressure, meant we were pinned in our box from the second they were subbed off. I found Morgan a strange sub when we're trying to protect a lead. Mina says, we found Brentford's weakness early doors on the left, then did not overload and exploit this in the first half. Brentford found our weakness on the right in the second half, and they overloaded and exploited it. How many points shed this season in the last 15 minutes? How many? Yeah, I imagine there's quite a few in the last 10, 15 minutes of games. Riccio's tip says, we'd like to see Josh Davison get a few minutes in. Feel he will cause a few problems for their defenders. What do you reckon, Nath? We ain't seen much of Josh Davison. We ain't seen any of Josh Davison since coming back from lockdown. He's been on the bench a few times. Do you think he's an option if we need a last-minute goal? I mean, you can think of someone worse to chuck on there and be a bit of a nuisance if we're going to start sending it along.
Yeah, possibly, but then I think if we're going down that road, then if you've not got Tomer or Chucks, then you can. For me, again, he's obviously not a championship striker at the moment. Obviously, that's no disrespect to him, but he's not. He's obviously still learning. For me, the two times I've seen him, Swansea, was tough. It was a tough gig for him. He wasn't really holding it. He wasn't sticking. The ball was bouncing off him. But then, in fairness to the lad, the game in the FA Cup against West Brom, he actually gave them a torrid time. He actually played really, really well. I mean, yeah, he could be an option. But I think if you've got Josh Davidson and Tom Ahmed or Chucks, and he goes on first, then if you're Tom or Chucks, you've got to sit there and think, well, what am I doing wrong here? Because you should be, Tom especially, if you're chasing a game and you want to go it long, I know he hasn't done it yet, but for me, you're going to have to go with someone a bit more experienced. But who knows? You know, he might do it on Saturday and then he'll come on and get a winner. Who knows? But I think you still got to look to your more experienced players first before, especially, you've got to remember, it's a relegation scrap, you know. We're not middle of the table when we can afford to do it. We actually need to be pushing. And with the players that ain't getting in the squads at the moment, with the Aussies and stuff, I think you've got to use that at your disposal first for me.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, Derek says, a great battling display that deserved more against Brentford. The Warriors, how much it took out of them for the next three crucial games. Tom Nash says, I thought the subs were too early. Didn't agree with Morgan coming off. Defended well, though, against a very good side. Lewis says, I thought the first half was great at Brentford, took the game to them and worried them at times. However, we just thought 1-0 was enough. Would like us to start the next game with the same lineup. Thought we had more of a threat to us and will cause teams lower down issues. Derek says, we did pretty well against Brentford. The problem was losing the small amount of ball retention we did have. It dropped when Johnny Williams was substituted again and again when Jake Forster-Caskey was. Both should start against Reading. I think we forgot what a key player Jake Forster-Caskey was for us before his injuries. I asked what people would like to see change for Saturday against Reading. Emma just says we don't play George Lapsley. And Sean says maybe we can score more than one goal. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we'll start to look ahead a bit more to the Reading game, hear a bit more from the Addicts boss, Lee Bowyer, as well.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across, Bowers there, Pierce is there, Bowers the header, and it's Jones!
Yeah! Oh, it's
it! Oh, he scores! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Right, so welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Looking ahead now to Saturday's home game with Reading at the Valley. Another big game. Reading are probably safe now. They're on 53 points. So what are they? They're 7 points ahead of us. So yeah, I'd say they're pretty much done. In fact, they might even be mathematically done if Wigan's points deduction has gone in already. Well, not quite, but my maths isn't great. No, because they're only 11 points ahead of Barnsley. So not quite, but they're pretty much safe. But it will be a tough game. And the games are coming thick and fast at the moment, aren't they? So it's interesting. I mean, we've seen it a few times now, Bowyer rotating his squad. So he made 7 changes for the game at Cardiff before bringing those 7 back in. Then he made 5 changes for the game, of course, against Brentford. And we don't know how he's gonna change things again for Saturday with Reading at the Valley, but I'd imagine there'll be more than 1 or 2 changes. It'll mix things up again. And that's the way it is at the moment because of this almost relentless fixture list that the lads have to deal with. So, I mean, Lee Bowyer had his press day today over Zoom, and he was asked about what he finds the most difficult about this this congested fixture list?
Recovery and try and put out the strongest possible team that I can without putting them in danger of getting injured. So then we've got numbers going into these last few games. Because if we lose 3 or 4 or 5, then that could affect our bench, which is going to be important as well. So that's the thing, the recovery, making sure we're getting recovery. That's why I've been making so many changes. Because if I don't, then with our players' injury record, they're going to get injured. So I have to do it this way. Would I rather play the same team game in, game out, and if we're winning games? Of course I would. But if I do that, then I've got a chance of losing players through injury. So that's what I don't want.
Yeah. Can you just give us a bit of an insight into that recovery? Like, how does it work then? Are you not able to do as much work on the training pitch as maybe you would like because you're having to wrap them all in cotton wool?
Yeah. Well, 48 hours between games is not long at all. So, obviously, Tuesday, Saturday, you get a little bit longer. Wednesday, they recover. Today, the starting 11 recovered again, like an 48-hour day recovery session. So they just do some jogging and some warm-down stuff. But the lads that was on the bench and the lads that missed out on the squad, then we had a training group of 13 players that would train normally. So then because we rotated so many players during the week, then you're getting them players ready for Saturday. So that's the way we've been working it, and it's been doing well.
Yeah. After the injuries you had earlier in the season, you made some few changes to the medical department, didn't you? Bought some experience in. Can you just talk a bit about, have things improved? How have they improved? And are you hopefully seeing benefits of that now? Have things got better than they were?
Well, it's improved because we have everybody fit. So to have 15, double figure 15 injuries for months, something was wrong somewhere. So I think bringing in Danny Murphy has been a good move with his experience. And he seems to be working wonders with the players. They're happy with him. But most importantly, he's putting players out on the pitch, making sure they're ready for game time. And that's all I want from him. So, yeah, I think it's been a positive introduction into our group that's already good.
Yeah. Again, can you share a little bit of insight into your working relationship with Danny and how things work with him?
He will just say to me, look, Lee, as simple as this, if you train this player hard today, he might break down. If you train that player hard today, he might break down. If you play him more than 60 minutes on Saturday, there's a good chance he's going to break down. So he's looked at all their records and like in the past. And then so he's judging it and he's working out, right, this player, like he'll play, you can play him 70 minutes this day, but then he now needs to recover for 2 or 3 days and then he can now train. You know, it's as simple as that. Then it's down to me whether I take that advice. He will never tell me something and then that will change my opinion whether someone starts or not. But then that will be a gamble that I will have to take. But at the moment, that's not had to be the case. And his advice has been good. So I try to listen to him as much as I possibly can, but knowing that the players still have to train. Because if they don't train, then they won't be up to speed on match day.
Yeah, I suppose it's quite an obvious thing to say, but if you do keep players fit, then that's probably going to have a big factor in whether you do stay up or not.
Yeah, and that's why he's important. And that's why he's done well since he's come in. So as many players that you can choose from, and that's the luxury I have at the moment, the easier the job for me, because then you can play the way you want to play and use certain bodies in certain ways. So it's going well at the moment.
Yeah, interesting there from Lee Bowyer, Tom, talking about how, you know, he has to be able to manage his squad. And we know we've had all these injury problems earlier on in the season, which has seen Bowyer make a change and bring in Danny Murphy, the physio, not Danny Murphy, the film goer / former footballer who used to play for us. It's hard to say it's had an effect on the squad because also they've had 3 months for everyone to get fit. But, I mean, certainly Bowyer's had to juggle what he's got very carefully. And that might be the case. You know, that's why people are slightly upset that Johnny Williams went off a bit early on Tuesday, for example. But it shows it's such a fine line he has to tread to make sure he doesn't put too many minutes into a player who could there all of a sudden get a muscle strain and be out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I think he's, as you said there, had his fingers burnt once this season already with the amount of injuries we got earlier on. So he's had that experience and obviously not enjoyed it, as nobody would. So he knows better than anybody how dangerous it can be. But I think so far he's handled it well. And I think actually we kind of work better when we're playing relentlessly. I remember in that run-up when we stayed up under Jose Riga and we had games, two games a week every week because of the issues with the pitch and stuff over the winter. I know this is a completely different squad, but you think back then and actually we weren't training much. We were just playing games and resting. And that kind of momentum carried us through. And I think we already talked about the fact that when Boya first came in and he had that sort of mini season at the end of his first year, how well he did. And I almost think if he can condense that feeling again, then he knows how to manage a squad. And I think, there's no one we would want more to be able to take us through the next few games. But you're right, we've had our fingers burnt already with the amount of injuries we've had. So he has to be very careful. And as you say, he then has to make decisions that are for the good of the side or for the good of individual players that people aren't going to agree with, unfortunately. But, you know, that's what he's paid to do. And you'd have to say so far on the balance of the, what we had, five or six games we've had, I think he's done it pretty well so far.
Yeah, I mean, with that in mind, Nathan, I mean, I mentioned those seven changes we made before we went to Cardiff. I guess that there has to be a little bit from both. He has to target certain games. So he probably made those changes against Cardiff thinking, you know, this isn't a game we're expected to go out and get 3 points in. You know, we could go and get a very useful point, which we did. But he's much more likely to save his key men, because I think, like, for example, Macca didn't start that game for the home games against Reading, for example. I mean, he even said that Tom Ahmed was rested on Tuesday for Reading, for Reading on Saturday. So it shows he's got to be very careful about which games he targets as well.
No, of course it is, and I think, to be fair, if you look at the squad, I think apart from we know we're one short up front. I think midfield's fine, centre half. For me, my biggest, I think the biggest headache I would have, probably for Bowie as well, is the flanks. Really, is for me, you've got Ben Poen, who, don't get me wrong, he's good, you know, 7, 6, 7, 8 out of 10 defensively. Going forward, not that particularly that good, even though he did score in the playoff final, which he hasn't really done. Really, he hasn't really done that since until to back end of last year. Alfie Doherty, we know how good he is. But again, the other way, defensively, he's improving. But, you know, if you had, again, we've said it so many times, if you had a hybrid of Lewis Page and Poen, you'd have a great, great left back. And now you've got Matthews. It's going to be hard for Matthews to play every game. But we haven't got nowhere else there, so you're going to have to put George out there. Or you've got to put Deji there. Again, Deji's not a natural fullback. Even though he does get forward, he's not a natural fullback or he's not a natural wingback. I think that is targeting the games for me is where he's going to slot in Matthews. And if you're going to be using Toma, you're going to need someone who needs delivery, who's good delivery. So if you're going to be playing Toma, you're going to need Matthews and Doughty playing because they're the ones who are going to get across in the box. So I think that's probably going to be harder for Bowes is in terms of the wing-back, full-back position for me.
Yeah, now, of course, with the big break we had of before coming back into this little mini-season, if you will, it was a good question in Press Day today from Terry, actually asking about whether that could have been part of the thing that affected the sharpness of the likes of Macaulay Bond and the other strikers who up until before Tuesday hadn't scored. This was a good question from Terry, just asking if Leif Bowyer thought that could be a reason why it might have taken our strikers a little while to get back into their stride.
Yeah, I don't think Macaulay has done much wrong. He's worked hard, like he does in every game. Match sharpness, you can say a lot of them are not match sharp. But he did do well the other night. He worked really hard for the team. He got his reward with a goal. And he's had chances in other games. I think if there's anything that Mac, I wouldn't put it down to match sharpness. I think it's just his confidence just wasn't there. He's had a few chances since we've got back playing. He had a couple against Hull, and obviously against Millwall the other night, he had a couple there as well. So he's had chances, but the most important thing is that he keeps getting in them positions, and then he will take one. And the other night, he done that, and he done really well.
There you go. I mean, you listen to Bo there, Tom, and he seems like he didn't think that McCauley had done too much wrong. Do you think we were maybe getting on his back a little bit? I mean, he missed that 1-1 against Millwall. Obviously, he missed a couple of good chances up at Hull. But other than that, I mean, Lee was clearly been reasonably happy with his hold-up play, his energy for the team, trying to work hard for his teammates. So do you think we were sort of falling into that little trap that we do sometimes as fans, or if a striker hasn't scored, he's not therefore firing on all cylinders?
I think that some of the reaction to Bond's performances has been very, very harsh. As you just said there, strikers are judged on goals. And obviously until Tuesday night, he hadn't scored a goal since coming back. But I remember after the whole game, I think it was the first one back, obviously the goal came from a defender, but we were looking at that game and we were saying, do you know what? Hemed and Bond look really lively and they're working really hard and they're holding the ball up and they're bringing other people into play. And there was actually a lot that they were doing that was really, really decent. And you thought that they maybe would kick on and score a couple of goals from there. And I know that hasn't happened. So I'm totally accepting the people that say he gets his reputation, if you like, from scoring goals and he's not scored enough. But I think it's been harsh because, as you say, it does take a little while to find your feet again. And I think actually he's come back and his performance all round, again, if we're not looking too outcome focused, his performances have been very good. But you're going to be judged on goals in the same way the performance against Brentford was okay, but we lost. McCauley Bond is going to be judged if he scores. And you know, when you miss a one-on-one in that a game as big as Millwall, you think back to the Tuca Diam one all that time ago. You know, I don't think actually he was that bad a striker. But you do something like that and you're going to get pelters. And I think that's what's happened to him. But got his goal on Tuesday night, looked lively. And as you said, confidence and body language certainly changed. And if he can kick on now, I think the criticism of him will be a distant memory.
Yeah, you miss one 1-on-1 against Millwall and you get labelled a prat, and that's the game. looking ahead then, Nathan, to Reading, would you reckon they're a side, like I say, I think they're safe. They're on 53 points. They only need a point more to be mathematically safe. Two more points to be mathematically safe. Well, hopefully we won't get those on Saturday. even with Wigan's... if Wigan do get the point deduction. They've kept two clean sheets in the last two. 0-0 at Reading on Tuesday. But they went and beat Luton 5-0, which was a result that really sort of caught the eye with Mighty scoring four of them and Puskas getting the other one. Just hitting a little bit of form in time just for when they play us, really. I mean, it's a team we beat earlier on in the season. Wasn't that impressed by them that day. I remember we had Jonathan Lowe on from the Get Berkshire website before that game, and he was singing their praise. He said Reading had a real good chance of they looked like they were going to be a playoff chasing team early doors. Obviously, hasn't worked out like that. How do you see them going into Saturday?
Yeah, I mean it's weird because they're sort of like a Jekyll and Hyde, really, sort of team. I mean, they've got some good players. I mean, there's a player. Well, I say now I've done this against Millwall, didn't I? So I might actually not say the player I actually like this time.
Go on, say him anyway. Let's see if you've got the Midas touch.
There's a guy in the middle of the park called John Swift. I'm telling you what, he's absolutely unreal. How he's not made, he's always stayed in a championship, I'll never know. But
he was on loan from Chelsea, wasn't he? He scored for Brentford when he was on loan from Chelsea. But yeah, he went to Reading on a free.
Yeah, he's a good player. And I mean, you said they won 5-0 and that meet, they scored five, which caught the eye. But my word, some of that defending made me cry, to be fair. Jeez. Yeah, it was absolutely woeful. They've, again, you know, two clean sheets. It would have been nice to actually see the game, see obviously Mark Bowen in there, obviously from 1998. But hopefully they're on the beach or halfway on the beach if they can get a flight out. If we can get a win against Reading, that'd be amazing, because Birmingham, the one after that, they're in 3-4 at the moment. And if we can get 3 points on Saturday, that'd be so, so big. If we win Saturday, I'd start maybe like 55% thinking we'll stay up, because I'm still like 50-50 at the moment, so he'll go up another five. But it'll be tough. It'll be tough courses. But again, like Tom said earlier, we need to concentrate on ourselves and make sure that we play well and focus on our strengths and let them worry about us.
Yeah. I mean, how much pressure are we going to put on ourselves for this game, Tom? Because we know that our final game is against Leeds. We know our penultimate game is against a Wigan side who appear to be the next Leeds, but they just started off in the wrong half of the table, and obviously a battling against all sorts going on off the pitch. So realistically, I mean, we'll go to a Birmingham team next week who are shipping three goals every game at home at the moment. So, but I mean, realistically, we have to target these next two games to, if we can get the 6 points and just get it over and done with, that could be huge for us. So does that add the extra pressure with the players knowing what comes after these two games?
I think so. Yeah, unfortunately. I wish it didn't, because we've seen how this team can handle some of that pressure. But having said that, you know, we pull out big performances at certain times as well. And I think, again, going back to the Brentford game on Tuesday, you know, it's against the top six side and we pushed them other times again, and our record against them is very, very good. Obviously, the teams, the next three, aren't that, and they're teams that you perhaps expect to get a little bit more from, and that's where we have struggled at times this season. You think of defeats to some of those teams already. So it is going to add extra pressure naturally, and the closer you get to the end of the season, whilst you can still get relegated, you're going to get more pressure. And you know, I said earlier, we've got to concentrate on ourselves. Boya will be saying to the players, don't worry about anyone else, don't look at the newspapers, you know, don't check the table. But it's natural, you know, people are going to want to know where they are and where they stand. And you haven't got fans in the ground who are cheering goals from other stadiums, which starts to happen at this point in the season, but they're still going to be able to find out results from other places, and it is going to put pressure on them. But I said it earlier, you know, I think Boya is the man to drive us forward. I think he'll be able to handle that pressure himself and hopefully take it away from the players and onto himself. And the players have definitely got the quality to get out of it. They've shown that already. And like you said, if we can just get the next two wins and get it out of the way, that would be perfect.
Yeah, I'm sure it will never be quite as cut and dry and as easy as we've made it sound there, though. I mean, in terms of lineup, one of the tweets earlier said they'd like to see us set up the same way as we did at Brentford. I mean, obviously that had it was an unusual formation. Actually, we had the three along the back, and then we had sort of Steve Brown on Radio London described it as a box midfield, four players almost in the shape of a square in the midfield, along with the wing backs on either side, that made it difficult for Brentford to play. But you'd imagine we wouldn't. I mean, would we go three at the back, Nath, and then try and hit Reading on the counter? I mean, That's not something we see too often at home. It's something we have played before at home, but I mean, how do you think we try and set up for this game?
Yeah, I think if Alfie and Adam Matthews are going to be given a lot more license, if they do start, if Thomas starting, they're going to want to spend a lot of the time further up the pitch. Which again, that won't really. If you're going to do that, to have two just sitting there, if they're going to have a free reign more or less, just to have two centre halves in there against a bit of a unit that's meaty or mighty or whatever you want to call him, I think it'll be risky. So I'd go for a three. You could do the box, which is your 5-2-2. But yeah, I mean, it's difficult because I mean, personally, I wouldn't start Thomas. I'd rather have Macker up there, and maybe, let's be daring, have Johnny and Ozzy in there. Maybe, I don't know, but. But yeah, I think it wouldn't surprise me if he'll just keep the same more or less. The three, you're going to have Cullen, that'll probably start. interesting if Albie will get a game. But I mean, you've got competition in there, but hopefully we don't start with, no disrespect, you know, with Jake, Samfield and Josh Cullen. I think that's too defensive. I think it's way too defensive. I think we really need to have a go. You don't want to be looking back, coming into the Leeds game, oh, if only we had a little bit more, had a bit more of a go against Reading.
Yeah,
that's my anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. I mean, Thomas, or anyone who stands up, do you think Johnny Williams will be fit enough to go? So he played 56 minutes against Brentford on Tuesday and then came off. I mean, you'd like to think if the reason he did come off so early, other than the fact it was his first start since coming back from lockdown, is the fact that hopefully he's being safe for Reading on Saturday.
That was certainly my thinking. Yeah, I completely agree with Nath. We can't have such a defensive midfield as we had the other week. I think we need to take it to Reading and try and play on the front foot, and someone like Johnny Williams is going to allow you to do that. I quite like the idea Nate spoke about earlier of maybe two people just behind a single striker, because then there's lots of creativity so long as one of them's getting up alongside him in attacking moves. But yeah, I think you look at probably Pratley and maybe Cullen, maybe two of them, with Field then coming on if we're a goal or two ahead to help protect things up. And then, yeah, you're looking at some flair players in front of him. I think, again, it's going to be that choice if we are going two up front of Anike or Hemed to partner Bon. I know Nate said he'd prefer Anike. I think I'd quite like Hemed to start. I think Anike looks better off the bench. I know he played well when he came off the bench away at Reading as well. So we've got options. Obviously, the key thing for Bowie will be assessing the fitness of the players more than anything, because we obviously spoke about that a little bit earlier as well. But now that we've got a fully fit squad, you look down that list of players and you think, actually, there is quite a lot of decent rotation that we can put in there, and different options for different formations. But it's just about seeing who's actually fit and raring to go. And Johnny's one of those players that hopefully will be. But if he's not, I think McGeady has looked good in patches as well. And we haven't seen Ozzy at all yet. So we've got options in that number 10 role as well.
Excellent stuff. Right, well, plenty of ways that Lee Bowyer could decide to play it against Reading on Saturday. It'd be fascinating to see which way that game goes. Right, just before we finish the show, I mean, we probably ought to touch on the takeover. We haven't really talked about it much for a couple of weeks. We've seen the owners at the ground, Chris Farnell, Paul Elliott and Mohamed El Kakashi have been at the last few games at the Valley. There was some excitement. I missed all this today because I was working, but there was some sort of excitement where someone apparently reported it was nearly done on the forum, which got a couple of people out there checking, like obviously Richard Corley and Rick Everett checked. And I mean, Richard was saying that talk that it was a done deal or virtually a done deal was wide of the mark, but there are some interesting days ahead. The EFL have to make a decision publicly whether Paul Elliott's consortium are able to pass their various tests. And I'd say that next week could be very, very significant in that respect. At the moment, Roland Duchatelet's stance is that he has a deal in place with ESI, so he doesn't need to come to the negotiating table. But if Paul Elliott's group do not get EFL approval, then I'd imagine that Duchatelet would sit down with Barkley and with Varney. So, yes and no, there feels like there's been some movement. Richard seems confident, Tom, that the EFL may come to some sort of decision next week. I mean, we need to get this whole thing moving, really, because we don't know how long of a summer break we're going to have. We want to be in a position where we can sign players and get players on contracts again. So we'd like to see things progressing sooner rather than later.
That's the problem, isn't it? Because you're resting with the EFL, and you know, I don't think they're in any hurry to do anything. And obviously now got their hands full again with the Wigan issue. But you're right. I think, look, we've said it plenty of times that through this break and for the past however many years, we're not fussed who owns the club so long as they do a decent job of it. And it's the Paul Elliott issue is still up in the air. You know, is he, as his statement said, here for the long term and here to build something, or is he here to pass it on to somebody else? And I'm not surprised, as Rich says, that Roland's in no rush to get back around the table, because he feels like he's made a decision and he's happy to just leave it at that. So unfortunately for us fans, you know, we're at the back of the EFL and we have to wait for their decisions and just try and concentrate on stuff on the pitch. But you know, it's only natural as fans that we're still getting our hopes up about these takeovers, because pretty much ever since Roland came in and his intentions for the club became clear, we've kind of been clinging on to anything else, and it remains to be seen. You know, I have my doubts about Paul Elliott, but they're not really backed by anything other than just a hunch and the fact that, you know, we've been in trouble before. He might turn out to be someone who's going to do a decent job here. But, you know, if he's not, and if he's looking to move it on, it's a case of trying to get that done as quickly as possible, as you say, so that we can just try and move on. Because whichever league we're in next season, we can't be dealing with all this off-the-field issues once again. Because people like Bowyer eventually are going to get fed up of it and say, well, do you know what? I'm going to go and find myself a club that's run in a more stable manner. So yeah, just the sooner the better, as I'm sure everybody would agree.
Yeah, excellent stuff. I was going to ask Nathan about it, but I know he finds talking about the takeover very boring, so I won't bring Nathan on that. I will bring you in, Nathan, though, to let's have a look then. Prediction for the Reading game. What do you reckon?
3-1.
Yeah?
Yeah, I reckon we're going to smash them.
I reckon it'll be one all, like 60 minutes to go, and then I think we'll get one, and then they'll chase, and then we'll get a late 3-1 win.
Nice. I like it. Sounds good. And Tom, what's your prediction for the game against Reading?
I'll take a 2-0.
Nice. Who's the scorers?
Bon and Jason Pearce.
Lovely. Ooh. Well, what a great way to end the show. That's it for this week's big match preview. Thanks to all of you who've listened, and to those of you who've tweeted and emailed in as well. Thanks to Tom and Nathan for joining us.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers,
we'll be back here on Sunday at some point to look back at the game against Reading. Hopefully it'll be 3 points, and look ahead to the next one against Birmingham, because they are coming so thick and fast. But anyway, thanks for listening. I've been Louis Mendes. We look forward to speaking to you again on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.